Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
You know God has given you the measure of faith, faith for victory, faith for strength, faith for endurance. Join Gloria and Kelly Copeland today on the Believer's Voice of Victory for more insight into God's measure of faith.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Kelly is here with us again today, and she's got some really good words for us. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you, Mama.
Thank you for coming.
I've been blessed to be here the last 2 weeks.
We've had fun.
Yes,
it's been great.
And don't you love the presence of God? Amen. I love it that He's promised it to us and that He delivers every day.
Amen. Whenever we're ready, He's ready.
You know, just even these last 2 years or so, just worship time with Him. I don't wait till I'm in church to worship. We have a lot of time together, and I'm enjoying Him. I pray He's enjoying me like I am Him, but it's what He asked for. He loves our presence.
Yes, He does.
And I love His. So yesterday we talked about He's expressing His presence in each other. And I loved what 1 Corinthians 12 said, you know, we don't serve a speechless idol.
That's right.
We are a speechless figure of God. We have the living God. Paul said to the Athenians, He is alive. You can't serve His needs. He has no needs. He's here to meet your needs. I love that. His presence is available to us, and He is hungry us to come into it. And I love, even in Revelation 3, you know, sometimes people shy away from Revelation, but it's interesting to go and read the heart of Jesus that wants to sit at our table and wants to talk to us. And He even wants to say to us, hey, I love this about you, but let's fix this. When you read what He was saying to the churches, I mean, we can take all of it to heart and say, and look at ourselves and let Him examine us. Well, today, I really want to go into that direction with Hebrews 12. You know, Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter, you know. We've all read that, and it's like the museum hall of faith where it tells of the great things people did. I love it that it doesn't really say, well, he did this, but he made lots of mistakes first. It doesn't talk like that.
No, it just says,
by faith, so-and-so did this when God told him to. And really, I was thinking about this whole chapter, one thing they all have in common was they had an assignment. They had an assignment, and they had a word from God. Mm-hmm. And through it all, and even with mistakes made in how they did, they believed what God said, and they did what He said, and they had a great, impactful outcome.
That's right.
And what is different? It says this chapter's not being written. It's still being written in heaven, what you and I are doing. We are part of this chapter. It's not done yet. But we have to do the same thing. We have to believe God, receive our assignment, and obey. Well, Hebrews 12 is very interesting. I have just recently, I have been reading Hebrews 11 my whole life, I guess, but I never really understood Hebrews 12. And to me, you look at it and you think it's divided up into three pieces, running a race, enduring, being corrected, was kind of skip over that, have no idea what he's talking about, Mount Zion. And then he talks about, we love the part that says take a new grip with tired hands. We like that. And then we see that he talks about receiving an unshakable kingdom. You know what? This is one thought, and it is all connected. And we can't take this out here, take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees, without receiving what it said prior to that about correction. And the way I want to present this to you today is just as it said in 1 Corinthians 12, it said, we don't serve a speechless idol. This, in chapter 12, is telling us that God is speaking to us. God is, He is revealing Himself, His presence in our lives. But when His presence comes into our lives, it brings correction. It brings change.
Yes, for the better.
It does.
For our benefit.
And we can be like the disciples and be set against correction and change and get in trouble. But God helped them, you know. They came out all right. We can be set against it and go through more trouble than we have to. Or we can receive what He's saying to us. Recognize it as His love for us and recognize it as the thing that propels us and gives us faith for endurance. Maybe you wondered, when's she going to get to faith for endurance? It's today. So we're going to start reading in the New Living, and then I'm going to switch to the Message Bible. So I've got my Bible stacked up here. It says,
Where are you?
I'm in Hebrews 12, and of course we've just read all about the wonderful faith people. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, you know, there's people watching your life of faith and my life of faith. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. The King James says that so easily besets us, but I liked what the Amplified said. Listen to what it says, Mom. It talks about stripping away the sin that deftly and cleverly clings. So, you know, some of these
things lurk.
Yeah. We talked about Psalm 19:12. It says, how can I know the sin's lurking, hiding? Mm-hmm. There is sin that tries to hide. Shame is a sin that tries to hide, yet it affects what you do. It affects your impact. It affects... The Lord told me that shame has crippled the church. That's done. He's done with that. He's done with shame in us. So we need to be done with it.
Right.
And when He corrects you over it, or He points it out, you know, we're way too sensitive about when an altar call is given for whatever at church, whether it's shame or sin or, you know, we just think, oh, I shouldn't go down. I'm a leader in the church.
What will they think?
The Lord says, stop that. Stop it. It's time to get free. Getting free is everything. He's freed us. It's time for us to be free. And so He's presenting these things to the church and saying, okay, come on, it's things He used to put up with, He's not putting up with anymore. It's time for us to get it right. Amen?
Amen?
But that's good, because the freer we are, the more wonderful life is. This says, let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates, I love this, Mom, and perfects our faith. One thing the Lord's been showing me...
Kelly, let me read a footnote of Andrew Murray,
okay.
by Andrew Murray, mm-hmm. that I have written in my Bible. Let us run. The gospel is intensely practical. It means for every day, let us live like men who are running a race for life and laying aside everything that can in the least hinder them. We judge everything by one standard. Can it help me in the race?
Yes.
Amen.
That's so good.
Oh, it is. That's Andrew Murray's.
And the Lord is speaking to us about
those things
and bringing us wisdom.
Yeah.
And if we allow shame or embarrassment...
Help me run the race.
Or if we allow pride to get in the way of His correction to us,
mm-hmm.
we'll miss it. And when it's when we get stuff off, when we correct, when we throw stuff off, Jesus, those new assignments, you know, this faith that He births in us, He is the initiator and the developer of our
faith, right?
The
author and the finisher.
That's not a one-time injection of faith. When you get a new assignment, He does. When you get a new assignment and you have a new realization, I need to be doing this, or God's called me to do this, He will birth the faith in you. to do it. And usually it comes when you go from glory to glory, faith to faith, assignment to assignment, correction. You know, it's not anything different than like Emily's about to start kindergarten. She is going to learn some things. The funny thing about her mom is she's already correcting actually her behavior and mine. So she's now getting
I don't doubt that she's correcting you.
By the time you see this, she'll already be in kindergarten. But even before summer, she's like pulling her clothes out the night before. She always remembers. She now wakes up, gets herself dressed, brushes her teeth, makes her bed. Now, I know she should be making her bed.
How old is she?
But she's five. But that's her instigating this. So this morning, she said, would you please make my lunch? And I said, yeah, I'll make it. She goes, because I know how we can do all this at the same time, and my plan is that we can do it and not be late.
That's what she said?
That's what she said. So she said, so while I'm doing this, you don't have to think about me getting dressed. I will make my bed, and I will brush my teeth. Would you please go make my lunch so we can do it all at the same time and not be late? I'm like, okay. So she's getting prepared
for a five-year-old
for the new assignment of kindergarten. So who knows what we'll be doing by the time you see this. I don't know. I believe it's going to be good, though, because she's correcting for the new season in her life. And she's correcting me. And she's, you know, wants me. I'm going to be making my bed, too, every day. Anyway, I love it. So we do this, though, by keeping our eyes on Jesus for what? For direction. For the same thing the disciples needed to be keeping their eyes on Him. For change, for direction, for shift, for assignment. Because He's the one that's going to inject you with faith. I love this story that you guys tell of when He told you to go on daily TV. It looked impossible.
Oh, yeah.
But I remember y'all talking about eating. You were sitting there eating. And suddenly, you thought, what? We can do this.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not do it?
What happened? He injected you.
Yeah, he did.
Because you said, okay, we'll do it, but it didn't seem possible.
No.
But when you kept your eyes on Him, He injected you with the faith to do it.
That's
and of
right.
course, He's the one that does all the hard work and bringing it in and making it happen. But this says, what He did when He endured the cross, disregarding the shame, that's the same way He did that. He decided to do it.
He did it. He was told to do it. He said, I'll do it.
And it was after that decision to do it that the peace and the faith to actually do it were present.
And it changed everything.
It did change everything. Think of all the hostility He endured for sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you've not given your lives yet in your struggle against sin. And He took shame. He took all of that. So we don't have to carry that. Have you forgotten? Listen to this. I love this. Have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as His children? Okay, are you ready for some encouraging words? Because I know God's just going to give you some encouraging words here. Don't make light of the Lord's discipline. What? Correction? Discipline? That doesn't sound encouraging. Ah. There is where we have to make a shift, in that we start to hear His encouragement. His discipline is encouragement. His correction is it's invoking faith.
Yeah.
It's giving faith to us when
it's
He corrects us.
Putting you in position to receive.
Yes. Now I'm going to put that sword down, and I'm going to read in this one. This is the Message, and I just love the way it says this. So I'm going to read this, and you're going to like it. Chapter 12. I love what it's titled, Discipline and a Long Distance Race. Mm. Correction for endurance is what the New Living said. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we better get on with it. Strip down, start running, and never quit.
That's right.
No extra spiritual fat, no parasitic sins. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race we're in. Study how He did it, because He never lost sight of where He was headed. Remember, He told us, I know where I'm going. I know where I came from. You just need to look at me and follow me. That exhilarating finish in and with God, He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. Now He's there in the place of honor, right alongside God. When you find yourself flagging in your faith, go back to that story again, item by item. And all the litany of his hostility, it says, he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your soul. You know, he told Peter to watch him. We watch Jesus, we see how to do this life, how to do it right. But now listen to this. In this all-out match against sin, others have suffered far worse than you, to say nothing of what Jesus went through. Don't feel sorry for yourselves. For what? For correction. Or have you forgotten how good parents treat children and that God regards you as his children? My dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline, but don't be crushed by it. It's the child he loves that he disciplines. It's the child he embraces.
And one translation says, for your certain good.
Yes.
For your certain good.
That's what, you remember when Jesus told the disciples, we read it earlier this week, he said, I say what he says to say because I know that his outcome is eternal life. Mm-hmm. Listen to this, Mom. This is where our minds can shift today. God is educating you. Did you know that? That correction you thought, ugh, I don't want to do that. But God's educating you.
It's a good thing.
That's why you must ever drop out. He's treating you as dear children. This trouble you're in, it's not punishment. It's training. The normal experience of children. Mm-hmm. Only irresponsible parents leave children to fend for themselves. That's not our God. Would you prefer an irresponsible God? We respect our own parents for training and not spoiling us. Why not embrace God's training so we can truly live? While we were children, our parents did what seemed best to them, but God is doing what is best for us, training us to live God's holy best. At the time, discipline isn't much fun. It feels like it's going against the grain. Later, of course, it pays off handsomely, for it's the well-trained who find themselves mature in the relationship with God. I love the New Living. It says there's a harvest later of right living. You get a harvest after correction. So don't sit around on your hands. No more dragging your feet. Clear the path for long-distance runners so no one will trip and fall. No one will step in a hole and sprain an ankle. Help each other out and run for it. You know, when you correct your life like they did, mm-hmm. other people come behind you. And yes, it's an easier race. So we thank you for the race you've allowed us to. We're allowed to run and even learn more things because we've watched you and watched the Lord correct you. Work at getting along with each other and with God. Otherwise, you'll never get it so much as a glimpse of God. Make sure no one gets left out of God's generosity. Keep a sharp eye out for weeds of bitter discontent. A thistle or two gone to seed can ruin a whole garden in no time. Let me skip just for a time. I'm going to skip to verse 18. Unshakable kingdom. Unlike your ancestors, you didn't come to Mount Sinai, all that volcanic blaze and earth-shaking rumble to hear God speak. The ear-splitting words and soul-shaking message terrified them and they begged him to stop. Listen, you know what? This really helped me understand this. This is an attitude about correction. And it says, we don't come to the Mount Sinai like the children of Israel did. And you know, remember what they said? When God spoke that first commandment, think about where they were too. They'd been in Egypt. They had no idea how to live in God. They had no idea of this God who would speak to you. They'd been in slavery and bondage that seemed never ending. They had watched people worship speechless idols, as Paul put it. So God has to correct them. God has to show them how to be so they can enter into his promises. That's the same thing he's doing for us, but here's how they took it. They said, that first thing he said, they were like, it shook them up. They're like, we don't like that. Moses, you talk to him, and then you tell us what he says. And how many people would rather not hear correction from God and just keep going and doing what they're doing because they don't want to go there?
Boy, I'm not.
We haven't come to that mountain. We've come to Mount Zion, Jesus, the very expression of the love and the grace of God. It says, verse 25, so don't turn a deaf ear to these gracious words. If those who ignored earthly warnings didn't get away with it, what will happen to us if we turn our backs on heavenly warnings? His voice that time shook the earth to its foundations. This time, he's told us quite plainly, he'll also rock the heavens. Listen to this, Mom. You're going to like this.
Okay.
One last shaking from top to bottom, stem to stern. The phrase one last shaking means a thorough house cleaning, getting rid of all the historical and religious junk so that the unshakable essentials stand clear and uncluttered. Do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom.
Praise
you know,
God.
He is shaking it up. When the New Living says, take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees, I love that because it says, what you do and where you go, pick it up, straighten it up, because he's got a race for you to run. And he's going to show you how to get rid of stuff in your life that's slowing you down and keeping you from being running that race with endurance.
That's right.
And he is expressing himself to us. And he is not speechless. He is not involved. He is not a God who's somewhere off, far away, just watching what happens to us. Some people don't like correction. It means they don't want his presence in their life. They don't want change in their life. They just want to keep on like we are, and God loves me anyway. Well, yeah, he does, but he wants better for you. He wants this for you. Do you realize that if we let Jesus shake us up right now, Satan can't? Don't you like that?
I do. That's good.
I want him to shake my tree. I want him to show me what needs to be gone, and it's gone. Amen? It says, don't turn... We read that. One last shaking from top to bottom, stem to stern. The phrase one last shaking means a thorough house cleaning, getting rid of all the historical and religious junk so that the unshakable essentials stand clear and uncluttered. This is what he's doing for us today. He's showing us what matters in this day. He was expressing those things to the disciples and showing them what was really important. Today, he's showing us what's really important. And those things are going to stand clear in our minds, clear in our hearts, clear in our lives, uncluttered by trash, uncluttered by sin, by shame, by junk, by doubt. Do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God. For God, listen to this, Mom. God is not an indifferent bystander.
No, absolutely not.
He is not an indifferent bystander. He is actively involved in your life, desiring for you to walk in freedom, desiring for you to walk in fullness. No matter where you're at, what you know, what you don't know, he's there to train you and to help you. He is actively cleaning house, torching all that needs to burn, and he won't quit until it's all cleansed.
Amen.
God himself is fire. You know, Mom, this has been what I say to him. If it's in my life, if it's in me and it's not you, I don't want it. Let it burn.
That's right.
Just let it burn, Jesus.
That's right.
Because he is in me and he's a fire. And he's in my life right now. Just stuff that doesn't matter is falling away. And he's pointing me and directing me at the things that really matter, at peace, at life, things in my family, things in my ministry, things in my calling are just becoming so sharp, so clear. And he wants that for all of
Amen.
Us, Mom.
Amen.
He wants that we would go and that we would grow from place to place
Praise
and
God.
Faith to faith and glory to glory. It's the most exciting days in the church we've ever had. But I just want us all right now just
Praise
to begin
God.
To welcome
Thank
His presence
Lord.
Today.
Yes.
At whatever entry place you are with Him, you may have known Him for a long time, welcome His presence.
We want to
into
do
your life.
His will.
We love you, Lord,
mm-hmm.
and we receive
Thank you, Lord.
All of your
Praise
presence.
God.
We receive
Praise
you in
God.
Every way.
Amen.
We receive correction. We receive
Thank
you in each other. We receive your love. We receive your presence.
You're so wonderful.
Your healing, your life.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God. Thank you, Jesus. It works, church. That's all
does.
I can tell you. It works, sinner. Everybody that's listening, you give yourself to God, you'll come out on top. Kelly and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.